Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. This week's parsha is Kisese, and we are approaching Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says that when a person goes out to war and he stumbles upon a certain woman, he is allowed to take her for a wife, known as the Eshes Yifas Tohar. He brings her into his home. And again, she has to do some interesting things. She shaves her head or whatever. Right? She seemingly has to make herself unattractive, and she has to remove her garments of captivity. She has to dwell in the person's home. She has to cry for her father and her mother for 30 days' time. And then afterwards, you can be with the woman. Okay, so classically known as the Eshes Yifas Tohar, and we're not going to dwell too much on that sugya at all, but the Torah says that this woman should cry for 30 days, all in the efforts to seemingly make her seem unattractive to the man. But the Zohar, which we don't classically quote in the Shir, has a fascinating explanation of this little, you know, episode in the Torah. And he says it's all a mashal for our neshama. The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov are constantly in battle. And says the Zohar, the Yetzer Tov is the captive. In the same way that that woman was a captive, and she was crying because someone had taken control of her, so too the Yetzer Tov cries over the fact that it is held in captivity by the Yetzer Hara. Eshes Yifas Tohar Dahi Nishmasa. Wow. So the woman is a victim, and that is our neshama. And our neshama is also a victim. And the Zohar goes on, and he says, what does it mean that the Eshes Yifas Tohar cries for her father and mother for 30 days? Dahi Yarcha De Elul. The Torah is alluding to the month of Elul. Debe Salik Moshe Leturo, when Moshe went up back to Har Sinai to receive the second Luchos. So those were the 30 days that the Eshes Yifas Tohar is crying, take me back, Abba, Ima, I feel like I've gone astray, something is wrong here. V'yivay Yisrael rechikin mimalka kol hahu zmana. So to the Jewish people, after they sinned with Chet HaEgel, there was a tremendous distance between us and the Ribono Shel Olam, Ad Yom Kippure Denachis Moshe Mintura, until Yom Kippur, when Moshe came down with the second Luchos. What an amazing idea in the Zohar that the Eshes Yifas Tohar is really an allusion to our current spiritual avoda, whereby we feel like there are certain clothing that needs to be taken off our neshama. We are being held captive, and there's filth that needs to be removed. And yes, we need to even cry out to our Father in heaven, saying, there is a problem. I feel very far away from you, Abba. There's a distance here that needs to be shortened. I need you to take me back. Wow. And I thought this is actually an allusion to the minhag that we blow the shofar in Elul. Right? We blow the shofar in Elul because Moshe went up to Har Sinai. And the Mishnah Berurah, he says that we blew the shofar when he went up. Almost to like not mess this one up this time. Like we messed up last time we went up the mountain. You know, but let's sound the shofar to really make sure we get it right this time. But the Zohar is saying that, no, that every day it's like we're crying for the month of Elul. And certainly crying and the shofar have a lot in common. We know that the entire shofar is supposed to sound like a cry. So this evening, what I'd like to do is speak about the shvarim. What in the blazes is a shvarim? And we have a Baal Torkeh at the table. So we'll learn from Adam. I've hocked up our buddy Rabbi Sonny Gershon this week a couple of times to get some Masorah from Rav Sonny, and he was right on, as one could imagine. And I, just a good, you know, whatever. And we've already connected to the Parsha. So there's an allusion to the Parsha. But last year, I was the Makri for Avi Geller. He's a very talented new Baal Torkeh. I did not know that Rabbi Sonny Gershon was the Baal Torkeh here for like ever, for decades and decakes. But I'm here 3 years. I've never davened in the main shul in Rosh Hashanah. But Avi Geller's mother-in-law, Dina Jasher, came up to me and she said, you know, when I saw you standing up there with Avi it reminded me of Sunny. And then, like, you know, she got a little choked up or something. And I said, Sunny and Cher? They're like, what? She was talking about. I'm like, do you mean to tell me that, like, I remind you of Cher? Like, I don't know. Like, are you kidding me? You know? She's like, no, Sunny and Rabbi Yudin. Like, you were like Rabbi Yudin. And Avi was like, Sunny Gershon. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Rabbi Gershon even blew the shofar. So that was, you know, interesting story last year. Okay. So, but if anyone else thinks I remind them of Sunny and Cher, you could talk to me privately about them. All right, here we go. So, Meseches Roshon Lam, give them a base. Seder Tekios. Shalosh, shalosh, shalosh. How do we blow the shofar? There's three sets of three something. And here's a key line in the Mishnah. Shir Tekiah Kishalosh Churos. The length of time of a Tekiah, the length. A Tekiah should take is like three churos. And how long is a chura? Kishalosh Yevavos. Okay? I don't know what these things mean. But ultimately, the main takeaway from the Mishnah is that the length of a Tekiah is Shalosh Churos. Okay, so Shir Trua Kishala Shivavos. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Which one is it? Is the Trua Kishala Shivavos? That's fine. Vatanya Shir Trua Kishlosha Shvarim. So now the Gemara is all confused. Is the Trua like three Shvarims or is the Trua like three Yivavos? They're different types of sounds, apparently. The Gemara says, no. There's a machlokas. Yom Trua Yelachem is one pasuk. And that is interpreted by Unkos, Sumatargamina, and Yom Yevava Yehilachon. I mean, the Aramaic translation on the Pasuk is that it's a Yom Yevava. True is a Yevava. So Yevava would be seemingly what we call a Shvarim. In contrast, Uksiv Be'ime de Sisra, Ba'ad Achalon Unishkova Tevav Eim Sisra. Sorry, thank you for the help, baby. Mar Saber Genuche Ganach. Umar Savar Yulule Yalil. Essentially, there is a machlokes here about what this trua is in the Torah. When the Torah says that you should sound this sound, in addition to its kia, but you should sound this trua, there are two ways to interpret it. Either it's a genuche genuach, this shvarim sound, basically. That's one way to cry. Or you could hold it's a Yulule Yalil. It's a different type of cry, a trua sound. But there are two different ways to understand the Torah. Okay, and the Gemara elaborates that when the Torah says v'havarta shofar trua, that means that you need to sound a tkia first. Again, v'havarta shofar trua. So before you sound the trua, the sound that sounds like either a shvarim or a trua, you first need to sound a shofar. So you're going to have a tkia and then a trua, and then you also need another trua because the Torah says ta'aviru shofar. Okay, so again, the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah famously says in Lamed Gimel Mebeis, the concept of a tkia, then a trua, and then a tkia. What is a trua? Machlokes. It's either what we call a shvarim, or what we call a trua. So Rabbi Abahu in the Gemara Lama Dalarmav came up with what we know as a shvarim trua. Rabbi Abahu said, wait a minute, I'm not really sure. Is it a shvarim, or is it a trua? The Torah says to blow a trua, but we're not sure which one it is. So he said, very simple, blow both. Blow a tkia, then a shvarim, then a shru, and then another tekiah. And again, the Gemara goes into detail about, you know, which order, etc. I don't want to go all the details of the Gemara, but that's a Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara has a famous line, Misafkale Dilma Ganuach V'yalil. Because it's not, the suffix is not only whether it's a shvarim or a shrua, there's a third option. What would the third option be? Maybe what? It's both, a shvarim and a shru together. So that is why we do all three. We do tkiah, shvarim, tkiah. We call that a tashat. Then we do a tkiah, trua, tkiah. That's called a tarat. And then we do a tkiah, shvarim, trua, and another tkiah, a tashrat. Okay? So famously, we are supposed to blow the 30 kolos on Rosh Hashanah, all of those things. A tkiah, trua, tkiah, and there are three versions of those, you know, and that's how we get to our 30 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, any questions? Those are the most famous makoros in Chazal about the sounds of the actual shofar blasts in the Torah. And that's all background. You know, famously, we know we don't just blow the shofar once during the davening. We blow the shofar during, before Musaf, what we call the Tekios de Miyushav. And then we blow them again during Chazaras HaShatz, the Tekios de Meumad. And technically speaking, you've already fulfilled your obligation before Musaf. You know, which one is the primary one, which one's the secondary one? That's a different shear. But we blow the shofar twice. Rabbi Yitzchak Gemara Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Manal, right onto Tezayin Amid Beis, the very, very last line of the Gemara. He says, why do we blow the shofar? Well, I'm a token. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Right? The Torah says, Tiku, right? Now, Ela Lama Meirin. Why do we do it true? And Meirin, again, the Torah says, Zichron Shua. Now, we need to do a Tkiyah and we need to do a Trua. Now, the question of the Gemara is, why do we need to do both be yeshiva before Masaf and both be Amida during the Chazar Sashats? And the Gemara famously says, Kedela Arvev HaSatan. Okay, very nice. And now Rashi says there that when the Satan sees how excited we are to do the mitzvot, that we do it not only the bare minimum, but we do it two times, we do more than necessary, seemingly that will prove to the Satan that he has no chance against Klal Yisrael because we are so excited to do the mitzvot. Okay, very nice. That is all background, wonderful background. What the Torah didn't mention, though, obviously, was what the Shvarim really sounds like. Meaning it did say there were two different interpretations of the Shrua, right? Meaning one of them was either what we called in the Gemara a Ganuach or it was a Yalil. Okay, so would you say that there's a way to mess this up? Because I'll tell you, the Rambam writes that it was actually a genuine suffix. We're not sure which one they did, right? But like Rav Haigon, they're different menhagim. They're both valid, right? Meaning it's not like there's a right or a wrong over here. It's just different menhagim. So Rav Abba said, these are the different menhagim. Let's just do all of them. So we kind of cover all bases. But the Rambam would say there's a genuine suffix. But like we're not sure what to do. So to cover all grounds, you know, we need to do more than one thing, right? That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Tav Kuf Tzadi Siv Beis Shrua Zu Hamur B'Torah. This Shrua sound, whether it's a Sharm or a Shrua, Nistapik. Im hi ayelala shadu korim Shrua O im hi mashadu korim Shvarim O im shneim yachad. It's a genuine suffix. Okay, it's a genuine suffix. Therefore, we cover all grounds. Fine. But what is a Shvarim? What is a Shvarim? Because seemingly a Shrua is going to have its own machlokasin, whether it's three or nine sounds. But I want to point out that there's a machlokas rishonim as to how the shvarim should be made. And that is going to lead us right into the other famous machlokas about a shvarim, namely the ideal length of time a shvarim should take. Okay, so first again, we'll cover the sound of the shvarim, and then we'll do the length of the shvarim. Okay, so if you were to sound out a shvarim, what would it sound like? Very good. So I'll be there. And Uncle Moishi CD on the classic Rosh Hashanah track, which is how we should paskin. You know, it's like, you know, the real Masorah for Klal Yisrael. It's like what a little kid's taught in school. So say, Tkiya, right, do Shvarim. How do you think it sounds? I would disagree respectfully. Right. I would have said, do. You had a little bit of a dip in your Shvarim.
That's
my voice. Wait, did you do that intentionally? Do it, could you do that again, please?
Yeah, I always heard
that's
that.
The way we do it.
Wait, say it again. Is it a straight sound or is it not a straight sound?
Mine is not a straight sound.
Right, it's not a straight sound.
That's the way Ashkenazim do it.
Okay, so this is the big machlokas we've shown him. Whether like the Ramban or like the Ritva. Now, we learned that a shrua, whether it's a shvarm or a shrua, is some form of crime. So I would have expected it to have a breaking in the sound, right? When you cry, it makes sense for there to be some form of dip, raising, lowering, as opposed to a straight sound. And when you cry, I think more logically one would say that it's a ooh, there's a dip, right? What we would call a tu'u or a tu'utu, as opposed to just tu. However, it's a mouthful, as we've shown. The Ramban. Now, this Ramban is a drasha, and in the green Ramban, it's in the Chidushim on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis as well. But it's really a drasha of the Ramban. Not all the Chidushim of Ramban will have this in the Chidushim of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so he writes like this. Aval kifia nirim diktok halashon ein hehefesh shebein ha-shvarm le-tkiya bein aruch le-katzer. The real difference between a tkiya and a shvarim is not just the length. Meaning certainly a tkiya we'll say is longer than the shvarim, which is broken up. Certainly the tkiya is longer. It's one straight sound. So that's not the real difference. That it's kia is long and shvarim is short. Ela shezeh kol pashut sof l'tchilaso. The tkiya is one straight sound. Ki ish meirim kolo nishorer ularanein. Like you're singing. You're almost like a happy voice. Vizek hu, but in contrast, the shvarim kol shavur keinam yalio. It's like a cry. So the Rabban says very, very clearly that that is the difference between a tkiya and a shvarim. Tkiya is a straight sound and a shvarim is not. So that would justify what we call the minag lita or the minag yeshivas, right? That it's a tu or a tu. Again, I don't really know the tu-tus, but wait, hold on. Doctor, what do you do? Whatever you're from, your normal. Okay, so it's a three-er. It's a tu-tu. Not just
up,
a tu.
Down, up, down.
Right, so it's a tu-tu as opposed to tu. Okay, so the Ritva is the famous minaklas. I think the standard minaklas is to do three straight sounds, if I'm not mistaken. Again, no one, you know, people just grow up a certain way. You know, I grew up in Jamaica States, if I'm not mistaken, a shvarim is always two, 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 three straight sounds. When I got married in Beth Aaron, my wife was from the Beth Aaron community, all of a sudden, all this other stuff is going on during the Kiddush Ofer, and I'm like, you know, what is this? So you find out about different minhagim in different communities, right? So the Ritva is the one that actually directly addresses the opinion of the Ramban and says it's incorrect. He says, don't tell me that the shvarim and the tkiya are different sounds. He says, don't say that. He says, shezeino, shatkiya kol pashut below shvira. The tkiyas are straight sound. V'chein hashever ba'atzmo, einu na'asa l'shvarim. Says, and a shvarim does not dip. Says, you know how I know that? Because if a shvarim dips, it becomes a trua. Shimkein chazer yevavos. It's both straight sounds. So what's the big difference then between a tkiya and a shvarim? Right. Just the length. That's it. Ve'en b'hem k'dei shinoi b'nigun. Ve'en shinoi b'hem ela ba'arichus hakol. Wow. So Machlokas was showing him as to what a shvarim should even sound like. Okay, very nice. So is there a wrong way to do a shvarim? Well, you have a Machlokas was showing him. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't really take a side on this. So, Baruch Hashem, so Rav Isaac Rice, an amazing Marbitz Torah from the Long Island, I don't exactly know which shul, but you know, I guess he's a Rav in the Five Towns. I don't know too much about his current position, but I remember him in YU, and he's doing tremendous work behind the scenes, Isaac different farm. What?
Isaac Rice.
No, maybe it's different. I'm sure they're both great. But I'm wrong. I don't agree. Talk about this another time. That being said, he asked Rav Shechter this question, and on Ashir, on Why You Told It, he reported that Rav Shechter said, whichever way you do is fine, which is great. Now, what's also great is this new Sefer that came out since last year, Menorahim, Sefer Bate Yosef. Markowitz gave me this Sefer. It just came out last year. And it is a compilation of the Minhagei Wayu, specifically the Minhagei of the Rav Soloveitchik, specifically with regards to the Yamim Noraim. And he says, Haminag Birov Kihilos Medina Senu, Litzko Shvarim Pshutim. Whoa. The Minhag in most congregations is to blow a Shever, which is a straight sound. Beli Shum Shinoi Kol, without the dip, meaning like the Ritva, that is like a short Tkiya. Dehainu litko tu, you just blow tu, tu, tu. Velo tu u, velo tu utu. Oh my gosh, that's what he said. Wow, that's what he says now. Now, Dr. Karp, don't worry. Dr. Karp is not worried. Now, Rev Adam, where did you get your Misora from when you learned how to blow shofar?
I learned it from a few people, but here I learned it from Rabbi Gershon and Steve Baker.
Yeah, so, you know, everyone has their so what sometimes gets me nervous is that, like, during COVID, a lot of people needed to just pick up tkiya shofar. You know, they were having a backyard minion, and when you kind of, you know, ask someone, how did you learn shofar, and I just kind of picked it up, and they never really were taught about the different halachas involved with one breath, two breaths, or the shema achas, shtei neshimas. So, you know, people have to realize that there's serious halachos related to the way you blow the shofar and the amount of time the kolos require and the real dinim of tkiya shofar. It's not like you just like do what sounds right. Now, often b'dieved it kind of is okay, so you don't have to necessarily kind of worry. But I thought that was fascinating that this sefer kind of took a stand on what is the more popular minug. Okay, so that's what they say. But again, a lot more to say here. And again, we're going to learn how the Ramban's opinion makes a huge comeback. Okay, so that's the first part of the shiur, what a shvarim should sound like. Fine. The next part of the shiur is how long should a shvarim take? How long should a shvarim take? So we learned one rule of thumb so far. The major rule of thumb is that a tkiya equals the length of the trua. Tkiya equals trua. Tkiya equals trua. Now we're going to have a problem. Because Rashi says that, do you know what a trua is? Shalosh kolos ba'alma. Kol shehu. Three little sounds. So imagine you sound three little sounds for your trua. Tu, tu, tu. It's very short. It's very, very short. What that means is that your tkiya is that short. Tu, tu, tu. The amount of time it says tu, tu, tu. So what's the problem? When you do your shvarim, you do tu, tu, tu. Each of those little twos, what happens to them? They sound like tkiyos. Because if b'di'eved, a tkiya is really a little tu. So your shvarim, which is tu, 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 sounds awfully like three short tkiyos. And that is not good. Tosfos asks this question. A very popular Tosfos, Lamed Gilam and Beis, he quotes Rashi and says, we have got a problem, people, because if your trua is so short and a tkiya equals a trua, three of them, three little sounds, your tkiya is very, very short. So therefore, v'tzarech li'zar b'shvarim shelo yehe ma'arich al kol echa b'fnei atzmo, k'gimo yevavos, so shalosh kolosh kolshu. If each of your trua sounds, your two, 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 are a little lengthy, the imke nasa tkiya v'lo shvarim, ay. So this becomes a problem. According to this opinion, you could mess up a shvarim. Because if your shvarim is two, 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 it sounds too much like three tkiyos. Or, you know, sounds too much like a tkiya. But let's remember, wait a minute. Didn't the Ramban say that what? A shvarim doesn't at all sound like a tkiya. What does a shvarim sound like? It's not a straight sound. It's a, what do you want to call it? A curvy sound. It dips. So in the Sefer, Bate Yosef, unbelievable Sefer, they point out that Tosfos' question seemingly only makes sense according to the Ritva. Why? Because according to the Ramban, if you blow a shvarim like Dr. Karp, tutu or tutu, even if your shvarim is a little lengthy, no one is going to think that, oh, it's too long. Now it's starting to sound like a tkiya. Why not? Why is no one going to think that? Even if it's a little long, what?
Because it's a different sound.
It's a completely different sound. So if your shvarim sounds like two, 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 okay, it starts to sound like three tkiyos because two is the same thing as a tkiya. But if it's tu-utu, 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 no one in the right blaze's mind would start thinking that your shvarim sounds anything like a tkiya. So in this sefer, on page Mem Vav, in the footnote, they argue that according to Rav Soloveitchik, it's not true. You can't bring a proof to the shita of the Ritva from this Tosfos. This Tosfos, which is saying, oh, you're going to get confused between your shvarim and your tkiya, sounds a lot like the Ritva, namely that the sound of a shever is just a straight sound. It's not true. You know why? Because what happens if you blow a tu-utu lengthy? Tu-utu, if it's really long, it sounds like a pustle tkiya. It doesn't sound like a shvarim anymore. So the Vajik didn't think that this Tosfos was a proof against the Rambad, because even if your shever is a tu'utu, But a long teutu could sound like a messed up tkiya, and that's also a problem because your shvarim still needs to sound like a shvarim, and it can't sound like a messed up tkiya. Okay, so just a little bit of a discussion of what the shvarim, how long it should take. Okay, so if you get crazy about this, what's going to happen is that you're going to find in the Shulchan Aruch a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch comes out as machmir, yesh omrim, shashir tkiya kitrua, that again, the length of tkiya is the same as a trua. And the trua might be very, very, very short. Well, the fees, Your shvarim better be short. If your shvarim is too long, it's going to sound like a short tkiya. But then the Ramah strikes back. V'yesh omim de'ein lachosh im erech b'shvarim k'tzas. Don't worry. If your shvarim is a little long, it's okay. Uvilvad shelo yarich yoser midai. But it shouldn't be too long. V'chei nohagin. That's the minhag. So can anyone try to make heads or tails of what the Ramah said? Meaning, so what was the Ramah basically saying? It's okay for your shvarim to be a little long, but not too long. So where would you draw the line? Anyone have any idea what like how to...
As long as a tekiah.
It shouldn't be as long as a tekiah, but how long is a tekiah? Okay. So what's the shortest tekiah? All right. So very good. So you have to say that the three different time measurements, right? That a tekiah is, you know, let's say, I don't know, whatever, 3 seconds to talk about, and a shvarim is 2 seconds, and I mean, a shvarim is 1 second. But you have to come up with some formula. Now, again, the Ramah does come back with a kula and says, don't worry. I mean, he's clearly telling you to be less concerned than the Shulchan Aruch. He's clearly telling you that. You know, he's giving you more wiggle room than the Shulchan Aruch gave you. So in this Sefer, they actually spell out. Now, Dr. Karp has a very nice sheet. Adam, you made that sheet yourself. You stick with Dr. Karp and you're good. So my very first assignment here was to be a makri in the year 2019, 3 Rosh Hashanahs ago. I was told, okay, you're the makri. I'm like, all right, what's doing so hard? Makri. Just call out the key to show and read the sitter. I didn't think it was so hard. And I started looking into these things, and Adam gives me the sheet, and it's like, you know, this whole like encyclopedia. And I'm like, you know, so, you know, I was put in my place pretty quickly that apparently, like, the Torah has what to say on how to blow the shofar. It was a little bit more complicated than just like looking at the article Machzor. But I did my homework, and I counted with my fingers. And Dr. Karp actually reported that I was very helpful when I used my fingers to show him how to count. Fast forward 1 year, Adam is blowing shofar into the kitchen to not spread germs in corona. And he had to blow the shofar away from the makri. So there I am risking my life, putting my face near the shofar. You know, but, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we've been here through the good times. Good times and the dark times. But now we're back for 2022. All right. So, all right, let's go on. So here they actually bring down Shir Tkiya Shal Tashrat. I'm sorry, here it is. Shir Tkiya Shal Tashrat. So again, there are 3 different lengths of your Tkiya. Why? Because your Tkiya needs to be the same length as your Trua. So, but sometimes your Trua is long, like a Tashrat, when you blow Tkiya Shvam Shua. So if you're blowing a Tashrat, your Tkiya should take, he says here, 3 to 4 seconds. And your tekiah of a tashat and a tarat is 1 to 5 to 2 seconds. 1.5 to 2 seconds. Whoa, that's what they're saying over here. That's what they're saying. Yeah, Dr. Karp, what's your response?
If it's Nishima Achas, the tashrat is Nishima Achas, then it's about 5 seconds. Rabbi Yudin told me 6.
So a tashrat, you're saying they're being very lenient over here.
Yeah.
They're saying a tekiah here is only 3 to 4 seconds, and you want to say it's longer than that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you heard it here. The Dr. Karp humbly responds.
Rabbi Yudin told me to do 6 seconds.
Very, very good. I like it. So they measure in the footnote over here. Rav Willig had like, you know, a professional, you know, someone who specialized in sounds. I don't exactly know. But I actually learned these figures with Rav Willig himself and Marsha Kolo. And they said that the length of a trua, the 9 blasts of a trua, takes 1.25 seconds. And therefore, your tekiah of a tashat and a tarat should be, you know, 1.5 seconds. Okay, you know, again, there's what to say over here that so Adam, you know, again, what to say. So essentially, you should have, you know, a little bit more time, but again, you know, for your shvarim should be longer than your trua, but shorter than your tkiya. So every Baal Kori should have some system over here where you kind of have your seconds, at least with your you know, you go over with the rabbi. So clearly, Dr. Karp has discussed this with the Balei Masorah of our institution, our congregation, which is beautiful. So just read over here. In Olamot.net, they have the Sefer Bekol Shofar. So let me just see. Maybe they bring down over here. They say that the length of a trua. Let me see if they give you the actual seconds over here. I thought they would. All right, they don't. They give you the background and the stuff like that, but I don't know if they give you the seconds like they did in the Sefer. I was just learning.
Where do
you.
They get 9 seconds?
They time it and literally time it like they you know.
And I've seen Baltoteas with the watch.
Yeah, so that's what they do. That's what they do. So they said that they the 9 what we call the tour meeting. You know, you time it, it comes out to 1.25 seconds. But again, Dr. Karp, you do your thing. So there's just a famous chap of the Rav. The Rav had a famous chap. What was the Rav's famous chap? He said, I have a problem. We'll just see how it's presented in the Sefer over here. It's both in the Sefer Nefesh Rav and the Sefer Mipnine Rav. The Rav had a unique shita that you didn't blow 3 sounds for a shram, rather, what? 5. He blew 5. Now, why would Rav Soloveitchik say you should blow 5? It's a very, very sharp chap. He says, I have a problem. Because according to Rashi, what's a trua? Very, very quick, do-do-do. Just 3 quick sounds. And that means a tekiya is the same thing. It's that amount of time. So that means your shvarm is to be very, 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 very short. Oh, gosh. But then there's the opinion, oh, my gosh, I didn't even quote you the Tosfos yet. I mean, famously, you know, with the Riva, is that the trua is 9 sounds. So wait a minute. If you want to hold that the true is 9 sounds, so what do you have to get? Every shvarim needs to get to what? 9 sounds. So how do you have 3 shvarim sounds, do, 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 equal 9, 9, tumutin, whatever, nine things? Each one is the equivalent of 3, right? Meaning 9 divided by 3 is 3. So the Rav said, wait a minute. If you're going to blow the shvarim, do, 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 and all of those are 3 termitin, you're a problem because you just messed up your shvarm according to Rashi. Because Rashi would say that's what your tekiah is supposed to be. Oh gosh. So the second you divide 9 by 3, again, it's a little bit complicated, but ultimately what the Rav said, don't blow 3 shvarm blasts, each being 3 termitin, rather blow 5 and keep each of the shvarm blasts to 2. So essentially, you nail both opinions because each one of your shvarim. So it's, instead of going 2, 2, 2, you're doing 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. So each of the 2s is less than 3 tormitin. So it's not a tekiah according to Rashi, but it still gets the reverse length of the trua. Again, it's a little bit of a chap. Don't worry about it. But that is the opinion of Soloveitchik. It's his chap. But they bring down over here that in the minig of YU, even though the Rav's minig was always to blow 5 blasts for the shvarim, they say in the yeshiva they blow regular 3 shvarim blasts like the whole world, and only after the davening's over, at the end of davening, that's when they blow 5 for the minhag of the Rav to get his chap. But again, famously, the reason we quoted of the crying was because of the mother of Sisera. Oh, so everyone and the mother asks why we compare Sisera's mother, you know, while we're learning from her, right, the non-Jewish woman. So what's the again, Rabbi Yoshev? Rabbi Soloveitchik himself has a few answers, and the man he answers the question. Rabbi Yudin, I'm sure, has given many answers. Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Yoshev is quoted over here in the Jewish Shua saying like this: Sisera's mother was rather confident that her son would return home from battle, like he always does. But there was a piece of her that had a little bit of doubt. So too on Rosh Hashanah, we're very confident that what Hashem is going to give us everything we want, but there needs to be a little bit of maybe not. Right? We need to have that emo pachat as well. So, again, we just listen to Dr. Karp and everything will be okay. Have a wonderful evening.